Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this awesome show. Today is Monday, November 6th. I'm not joined by Rachel this morning because she's in Vegas on her way back. She went over for the weekend, but I'm joined once again by the beautiful Kay Brandt. Welcome to the show, Kay.
Hi, good morning.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, too.
Always nice to be joined by you. Always fun time. How have you been?
Oh, I've been okay.
Writing, working, yeah. Writing, filming,
yes,
anything like that?
All of the above. Working on new deals with new companies as well as Adam and Eve.
Okay.
So
you're making more adult films.
So you got more planning on it.
Oh, more like
contracts in the planning
and
stage.
Like?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. Okay. But work is always cool, so that's cool because being in that industry, it's not always like steady work, right?
This is true.
Yeah,
it can be. At one time, it was for me.
Really?
Well, yeah. It just depends on the company that you work for and the position that you're in.
I see. Okay.
A big ship like Adam and Eve. Benefits from having more than one director.
Yeah, right.
So the work has to be spread around.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you do pretty good, so that's
cool.
Yeah,
I make some big movies.
Yeah, exactly. We'll promote some of them in a little bit, but
okay.
We're going to be joined soon by a guest who's probably running a little late. He has to drive far every Monday to come and do his show here.
I feel his pain.
Yeah. So we'll be joined by that. Have a fun show. And we had a nice weekend, though, right? I mean, Saturday was, like, gorgeous.
Yeah.
The sky was blue, not a cloud in the sky.
Nice November weather, considering that October was completely insane.
Right?
It was a mind fuck of weather. From freezing to a heat wave where we had, like, a week, 2 weeks of 100-degree weather?
Right.
After, like, freezing. We were, like, freezing weather.
Right.
Ice on my car.
You don't know what to wear anymore.
Right.
And
a windstorm that the Santa Ana's kicked in, and we
had that for
a couple of weeks. It was like hurricane winds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a couple of weeks, though. I mean, you're like exaggerating there. I mean, even the heat wave wasn't 2 weeks.
Yeah, that was 2 weeks.
It was?
Yeah,
it was. October?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
But we're so used to 90-degree weather that we don't even really notice
I know.
But it got really hot.
Yeah.
Really hot.
We don't get much weather out here in Southern California. It's pretty much the same every day. That's why I wish we would get some rain, get some winter, feel the holidays, you know.
Yeah.
But who, you know, what are you going to do? Are you originally from here, Kay?
No.
Yeah, where are you from originally?
Outer space.
Outer space, okay.
No.
So, no, I just wanted to know if you grew up with snow and stuff.
No, I was born in San Antonio, Texas, and then traveled across the United States with my family for several years. So,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, and Texas girl.
Yeah, but not really, because I was 6 weeks old when I left.
Oh, okay, so you didn't really live there. And
yeah.
Stuff. And then you lived all over the place?
All over the place, and then but mostly New York and L.A.
I see, okay.
So.
Did you like New York?
New York is cool. My family's still there.
Oh.
And remember when Jackie Martling was on the phone, we were talking about Huntington?
Right.
Huntington, Long Island?
So that's where it is?
Yeah, around there. But, New York, I went to school there. It's good. Like, you know, you do get the snow, but like, I hated that part.
Right.
It makes everything miserable.
I know, except when you're a tourist, you enjoy it, you know?
Yeah, but some people really love the snow. That's why they stay there their whole lives or live in climates like that, because they enjoy those seasons. But, man, I don't like scooping snow. I don't like shoveling it. I don't like scraping it off my car. I don't like doing anything like that. It's nice to look at for, like, a couple hours.
Right.
Like, as the flurries are coming down, and then after that, it's like, Jesus, everything's white and cold.
I know, and you have to deal with all the, you know, digging your car out and all that stuff, right?
Too much.
Yeah. It, like, changes your life completely. I can't see how, you know, you always have to take extra time, I guess, right? Wherever you go.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I never lived in weather like this. I always lived in sunny weathers for some reason. And so snow, yeah, I've never quite experienced snow for, like, an extended period of time, you know? Like, let me sit somewhere and have the snow... come down for a whole day.
Yeah.
Never been in that,
yeah.
You know? So if I go to like to Big Bear or something, it's a snow that is like, already
it's fallen. A novelty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You can handle it for a couple of days.
I know.
Because you know you're getting the hell out.
Right, exactly, you know? But God, driving in that. And by the way, I am sounding nasal because I'm feeling sick. The past couple nights,
oh, no.
I've been waking up congested and coughing and stuff. So I hope I'll be okay because it doesn't really feel like a cold. But, you know, when you're congested, you're congested. So.
Yeah. The sun, well, I'm telling you, it's this weather. It's the winds
probably,
and everything
right?
that we had. Yeah.
Yeah, and allergies and
messes
stuff.
With the sinuses.
Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? So... anyway, so the holidays are coming up, and that's cool. You know, I'm looking forward to that.
The only holiday I have patience for already just passed, and that's Halloween.
Really?
Everything, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, I could just give a crap. I really wish that I could disappear. Like, my, you know, last year I went to Hawaii for Christmas, and that was awesome.
A perfect thing
yeah,
to do.
That was awesome, and I just much prefer it that way.
Yeah, right.
You know, like just to get out of this because I can't stand. I mean, like the Christmas decorations are already up.
Right.
On city streets and
but,
all that. And it's
yeah.
November. It's the beginning of November.
I know, but why does it bother you? I mean,
because
I don't care. Make the holidays as long as possible, you know?
Why do we have to do the holidays?
It feels nice, you know? Afterwards, it's like I feel like let down after the holidays.
See, that's why. Because, you know, the holidays are one of the number one reasons for people who suffer from depression to get suicidal.
It's true, right?
It is horrible. It's not a happy occasion. For many people, holidays bring up very bad feelings. Depression, emotional situations that because you're surrounded by it, you're brainwashed by it, you're told you're supposed to feel a certain way, and the holidays make you feel good, but you make you feel good first.
Yeah, right.
The holidays are just a thing that happens, and
right.
you can choose to be in it or not.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I'm Jewish. I don't even celebrate these holidays, but I just like. Them being around.
Yeah,
you know,
but you party for 8 days stuff. With Hanukkah.
not really. But it's not really partying. You just light candles.
You can be. It can be partying.
I suppose it could.
Yeah. You could make it very festive.
Yeah, right? I know. But I need to learn, actually, to buy some more presents for people, though, because I feel if I don't celebrate it, then I don't need to worry about the shopping. But it's not true, because you know some people who do celebrate, and they probably expect a gift or something.
Yeah,
you know?
I had problems with a couple of my neighbors for a while, who these two women, you know, they would go into heavy bake mode, and then they'd distribute cookies and goodies
really?
to everybody on the block. And they would show up at my door unannounced and be like, hi, I wasn't friends with these women. You know, like, I was not, like, there was nothing. Like, please don't drop off goodies at my house anymore
right?
because I, A, have nothing to give you in return. So you're making me feel like an asshole standing at my door, you know. But the surprise attacks and the Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, here's some fattening food, take it. It's like, I can't, you know, I don't want, to me, you only do that for people that you're close with or that you feel like something, not like everybody on the block's got to have a little cookie, got to have some, everybody, we're going to knock on your door and drop it off because we're good people. Fuck you.
Let them be good. What's wrong with that?
Because actually they stopped doing it, and they didn't just stop doing it with me. They stopped doing it altogether. And I think these bitches finally got wise to the fact that is work, my
right.
friends. That is work.
Nobody's giving them anything back.
Yeah, it's
right?
just a lot of work to cook all that, you know? So how much is your dedication? It's, you know, that lasted for a couple of years. I think finally decided that life was too, there was too many other things going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what they thought. I don't care. But I don't like being forced into feeling a certain way. I don't like being forced to celebrate something that I don't believe in, and I don't believe in Christmas.
Right.
It was something I really liked as a kid. And as a teenager, and then in my 20s, I started to feel incredibly pressured by the holidays. Like, I feel good all year. And then the end of year, starting in October, I feel like this sense of dread. Like, I'm being sucked into a black hole of holiday cheer that only means spend money. Spend more money than you have to spend because you're obligated to buy gifts. You're guilted into buying gifts. You got to put up the goddamn tree. You got to put up all those stupid decorations and pretend like we live in a winter wonderland in the middle of California. Fuck it.
Okay, but you know what? Celebrate a little. It's fine.
No, celebrating to me, I do every night when I'm drinking. Yeah, I don't need to have an occasion.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I don't know. It makes time special. You know, I always have good memories around the holidays and stuff. It just feels nice. I don't know. But.
But that's breath brainwashing.
Why brainwashing? I just enjoy it without buying all the gifts.
Because if there was never any of this, would you still feel good? Like, yeah.
Well, probably.
That's an important thing. Yeah, that it doesn't.
But it's nice to have.
Yeah. You listen. You're like millions of other people. They really like this time of year. They really get into the holidays, and it gives you something to. And I look. I'm affected by it too, and this is why I think I can't get this feeling out of my system. Like as much as I don't like the holidays now. As an adult, I still feel like this. Oh, is the holiday season? There's going to be commercials on TV where everybody's running around happy, buying things and decorating
their cars.
Lexus always has those commercials where you know some lucky bitch got a new brand new Lexus wrapped in a ribbon on her, and they want to make that look like reality.
Yeah.
So you know that's that's okay.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. That's what Prozac's
doesn't matter.
Oh, wow. Has anybody ever taken a poll or done statistics on the increase in antidepressant prescriptions this time of year?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have, yeah. No, you're right. I mean, for some people, it's a shitty time because they realize they're alone.
Yes.
You know, things like that. But, yeah, look, I mean, everything's got its... up and down, you know?
Yeah.
And it's good and bad. And
yeah. I know a lot of people who've had tragedy happen in their lives in the winter, you know, like lost a parent or a relationship broke up in the most devastating of ways or something, you know, horrible that so every time the holidays come around, they can't handle the memory.
Right. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
In my family, in my Italian family, there was always some kind of family drama that happened around the holidays. Somebody was getting excommunicated or somebody.
Wow.
I don't know. You know, really? Like, there was always some kind of drama. Always some kind of, you know, did you see what Uncle Tommy did? Uncle Tommy didn't show up again, or Uncle Tommy forgot to send a present to our mother, or Uncle Tommy. It was always Uncle Tommy, the black sheep of the family, was always causing some kind of problem.
Oh, God. Yeah. I know. Well, family, you don't get to choose, you know? They pretty much, you're thrust into a family.
Yes.
It's not like friends.
Yes.
Did you hear that Manafort and Gates are under house arrest?
Who?
You know, Manafort and Gates, those were like two in Trump's party in his campaign. And they're being investigated, obviously, for the Russia ties and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so they're under house arrest.
Yes.
I mean, this is getting fucking serious, man. You know, so
I love it. I love that all this shit is coming out because I think we have spent a century in secrecy. You know, like the government's always been a big cover up, and all of these political scandals and all of these sex scandals that are happening now. It's like we've finally reached a day and age where we're blowing the cover off of all of the deception and all of the abuse and all of the bad behavior and the bad decisions. We're finally blowing the cover off of this stuff. And I hope the end result is that we become a better society.
Well, we will. I think more it's enlightened. Transformation. You know, it's you can't put the genie back in the bottle, sort of like it's... You know
what happens when you're on house arrest?
What's that?
You watch a lot of porn.
Yeah. Is it like studied and researched?
I might see probably a spike in sales.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. But they're saying that Manafort has 3 U.S. passports, traveled with a fake name. I mean, shit.
Yeah,
so we're
pretty screwed up.
They're already setting up a trial date and everything. Wow.
Good.
Yeah. I know. Send a lot of people to jail and then maybe, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, man.
Well, a restructuring is good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but restructuring happens with revolutions.
Yes, and we're having one.
I don't know if
it doesn't. Revolution doesn't have to be brought on by war. We're having a revolution right now, just with the uncovering of some pretty bad people who've hurt a lot of people in their illustrious careers, raking in millions and millions of dollars and living. You know, some people should not have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because they don't handle it well. It turns them into monsters.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah. So they're saying that we've talked before here on the show about retailing and how it's going down the tube.
I don't know why this makes me laugh so hard.
Right,
because it's all so... I'm gonna miss
retail stores because they're gonna be all gone.
Yeah.
And then where are we gonna go shopping? Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of stuff you don't want to buy on Amazon. You know, I mean, it's nice to have Nordstrom and Macy's around, but we're making them all go away. They're saying that Amazon is responsible for half of the growth.
Oh yeah.
In the United States.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, that's like. Way too much.
Well, look, I was in retail. I did spend some time in retail,
right.
You know, and that's, I think, what happens to a lot of people who choose a creative path professionally is that they usually end up working in restaurants and retail. So that's what I did, you know, but I had the, can I use the word chutzpah?
Why
Would that
not?
Be correct? To say, well, not really chutzpah.
Chutzpah is like audacity or something.
So I had the audacity to think I was a retail manager. I had, you know, I managed to talk my way into these jobs that I had experience. I had management experience, but managing a retail store is a certain type of thing.
Yeah,
it's
right.
A certain type of beast, and you have to be all about it.
Yeah.
You have to be all about praying to the retail gods and living by that structure, which is a tough thing to do because retail stores are open 7 days a week, especially if you're in a mall.
Right, right. And, you know, but what it does is there's less competition. It means that we have less choice, higher prices. And,
we have really high prices now. I mean, I don't know when the last time was you were in the mall, but like.
Well, I don't know. You go into Macy's, they practically give the merchandise away.
They've closed a million locations. But if you remember, this consolidation of that is the Macy's thing, that is the Macy's empire,
right?
Was a consolidation of many, many stores. 20 years ago, we had Bullock's, Broadway,
right? Robinson's,
May Company,
right?
And Macy's slowly bought everything. They just consolidated everything. Bullock's and Broadway became one store.
Right.
Robinson's and May Company became one store. Robinson's May.
Right. So it's a trend
and
that's been going on.
Because it has been too big. You know, there was a... I remember in the 80s with my parents, going shopping with my parents, and they were retail lovers. You know, they loved going to the mall, and they loved Bullock's and Broadway.
Right.
And because they felt like, you know, if you gave somebody a Christmas present that had that was boxed from Bullock's, that actually had the B, the big cursive B on it, it meant that somebody shopped. Somebody bought you something that was worth it, you know, that had a monetary value that was up there, that, you know, somebody cared about you. But
you know, for places like Nordstrom and stuff also, you know, who are the epitome of customer service and everything.
Definitely.
You know?
And it's very nice. But, you know, I went shopping at Nordstrom's a year ago when I was looking for gowns to wear to the adult industry events that happen every January, the XBiz Awards and the AVN Awards.
Right.
And... you know, the experience was so-so.
Yeah.
It wasn't fabulous.
Yeah.
You know, definitely didn't feel like I was shopping luxury, although luxury items are there. You know, when you have to, when you're not quite at the level of shopping in the private area where, you know, the big designers are. And if you go in there, the temperature changes.
Really?
The climate changes.
Wow.
Yeah, like everything feels different when you walk into this area because if you walk there, you're prepared to spend thousands of dollars on whatever, on one outfit, on one dress. Yeah, because it's got a designer tag on it.
Ah,
you know? So when you pass it up, I really kind of feel shitty about myself. Like,
I don't qualify
there. I'm not going to be let in, you know, because I have to show a bank statement to get in this. But so that's kind of like, you know, and I wasn't even impressed with the selection of gowns that they had. I went there specifically, you know, to look for.
Well, maybe that's not what they're strong at, you know. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't been to a Nordstrom stored 10, 20 years.
Yeah. Well,
it's nice to have.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, and Amazon is really redoing everything. You know, I mean, did you hear that they opened a physical store, bookstore in Century City?
Fuck them.
You know, so
no,
what they
this
did
is why
is,
when you say bookstore, it makes me very angry.
Why?
Because Amazon has screwed authors
exactly.
really badly, especially over the past 2 years. It was good. It was really good for a while. But 2 years ago, and I've talked about this on the show before, Amazon, Jeff Bezos, decided to change the way that authors are paid on royalties. So, and they're responsible for creating this culture that books are not worth more than 99 cents.
Yeah, right.
And it's even hard to sell books at 99 cents. Now, when somebody buys one of my books at 99 cents, I get 35 cents of that.
Right. And that's pathetic, you know?
It's pathetic.
That's fucking pathetic.
There's very few authors that are making a living if you're independent and you're not a part of the big publishing thing, the Random Houses.
Right.
Et cetera. You know, like these. And so that's what happened. Like, I literally, and this is not an exaggeration, saw my monthly payout on Amazon drop by 75% when they switched from the regular payout, which was perfectly fair and totally okay because we actually made a little bit of money.
Right.
To making 75% less, basically, from 1 month to the next with no warning. And they did it across the board for all authors.
Right.
So it's...
And I know they squeeze retailers too, you know, the people that sell on their site and stuff.
Yes, they do.
So, But that's the thing. I mean, they become a monster. And that's what I wanted to say about their physical store is that, you know, they destroyed all the retail bookstores and now they're building their own in their own image.
Yeah.
You know? And I got to say, it's a pretty neat concept because you go in and then they have these shelves that says, if you like this book, you might like these.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
just like
they have on the website.
Yeah.
They also show you the star rating that it has on the website. But you can only get good prices if you have Prime membership, which I happen to have. But still, you would probably pay full price at that store if you're not willing to pay Prime for $100 a year or something.
Well, what is full price?
And it's also not as
full
big
price
a selection.
Is fair. That's the thing. It's like on books that is fair. 99 cents is not fair. But it's very hard to sell books. So my publisher has started a new thing. Basically, she's super cool. You know, Selena Kitt owns Accessica Publishing, my publishing house. And she's also a New York Times and USA Today best-selling author. And I happened to make two of her books into movies for Adam and Eve over the past 2 years.
Ah.
And we're in discussions of making a third. She will never tell an author that she publishes what to do, but she'll highly suggest things. So her big suggestion now is to raise the prices of all the books as like a way of rebelling against the system that Amazon has put forth, which is your literary work is worth nothing. So so therefore sell it for 99 cents or make it free.
Right.
And her thing is no. All books are going back up in price and just mark it because you can use 99 cents as a special, as a sale, as a type of promotion, but don't leave your books at that price. I did for a while.
It makes it seem like they're not worth much because, you know, pricing is a very interesting science, a very complex science.
Yes.
And you got to experiment with
right.
it.
Right. So know? I did. When I was first publishing 3 years ago, my books hit the market at $3.99 for a full-size novel, not just a novelette or a novella. And it's kind of pathetic because my shorts are 99 cents too. So bigger books are now 99 cents. So I'm slowly taking her advice and starting to raise my prices and change how I structure when a book comes out, what is my price? Because it's not worth it. If my book is $2.99, I'm at least making 70%. I'm making 70% of that $2.99. So if I get if I sell one book at 99 cents, I make 35 cents. If I make one book at $2.99, and sometimes I go for months where some of my books only sell one copy, or at least that's all that shows on my there's a site called Novel Rank, which where we track sales.
Right.
So anyway, it's just we have to. It's kind of like one of those things where we either choose to be part of the heard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we do that, or we finally start standing up for our rights again and change it. The only way that we can change this with Amazon is when the people who are basing their Amazon goods for income, we take the price in the price control into our own hands and don't let Amazon dictate that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, good luck with that, because they're a mammoth now. You know, they're huge. They're big. So they dictate the rules and stuff, you know, but what can we do? You know, we wish you, definitely the publishing, the music fields, markets are, you know, transforming themselves. You know, it's different today. But at any rate, folks, enough about that. Our guest just arrived, and we're very grateful. Alan Cardoza is with us. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I know that you came a long way, and I, for one minute, I have no resentment towards you for arriving late. With some people I do, but not with you, because I know you try your best.
Well, and again, I appreciate it. This was one of those crazy days on the freeway.
Yeah.
So I've been on the freeway for a little over 2 hours.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
Alan.
I did something
similar. Well, I really appreciate you coming here, you know. And well, you would have had to anyway. You've got your own show coming up after this
yes.
one. And Alan is a host with us, has been from the beginning. And we'll get to some other things, but tell people what your show is, what it's about, so they can so they'll want to stay after this show today and listen.
That's great. Yeah, the show is called Answers for the Family, but our guest this time will be talking about a disease that many families have, and it's called affluenza.
Okay.
I first heard that term on a show on the Wealth Channel.
Yes,
really.
And it was about these people who live. I heard it because the show was about. I can't remember what it's called. Residency.
Yes.
Residency is a ship.
Yeah.
Where it's like a condo for
right.
very wealthy people. You instead of buying a condo on land, you buy your own condo on the ship.
Right.
And you live there, and they design it however you want it to be designed.
Uh-huh.
They have all the restaurants, dry cleaning, you know, education. And somebody was on there saying that she coined the term affluenza as a way of. How do you teach kids that you're raising on the ship that's traveling the world nonstop? You know, it's breakfast in Italy, dinner in Spain, you know, that kind of poor thing. And how do you teach them how to value money and do what they can with their affluent lifestyle?
Well, that's a lot about what my guest book talks about. But it really talks about when do you think your family needs an entitlement intervention.
Okay.
Good luck with
so,
that.
Makes sense. So we're going to be asking questions, and it's the questions he has in his book. And and by answering these questions, the listeners will be able to have an idea, do they need an entitlement intervention based on their answers?
You know what? My kids do, both of them. And I think it's quite a bit in this millennial generation, would you say?
Oh, yeah.
Because we raised them with everything. I mean, we've showered. I mean, my kids, everything they wanted, I gave them, you know, and more. I mean, I would go and I would say, oh, they should have this. Let's buy it for them. But, right? And, you know, look, in my case, I know for a fact it did not replace the quality time, the love, the everything that. It was just an addition to.
Yeah.
But man, now they're tough, you know. I don't hear from them unless they need something.
Yeah.
I need the intervention there, right?
Well, then you want to stick around and listen.
Yeah, okay. Sounds interesting. So, stay tuned for that. Answers for the Family. I mean, you've covered just about any topic possible.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, anything that is going to improve our life. And
right.
so we may touch on happiness. I mean, we had Scott Aker that did the Happiness Project at Harvard. And, you know, it may be something that if you have at-risk youth and you don't know what to do, they're not going to school, they're on drugs, we'll have experts on that can talk about that and what are some of the things that we can do, programs they can go to where they can go through detox and it can be done in a loving way rather than them going to a juvenile hall where all they're going to do is learn how to be a better criminal.
That's true, yeah. And Alan is familiar with that because you deal with that type of people and you can tell us what it is. But Alan probably came in here wondering who is this woman because...
he's seen me before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you guys have seen each other before?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Good, okay, yeah, because you've been here on a Monday before.
Yeah,
yeah, okay. Okay, no, because that's the only way you would have met.
Yeah.
Great, okay. Because I'm thinking he's walking in here, doesn't know
we've
who
never
that
officially
is.
Met, but we've smiled and waved and
okay, well, now
yes.
you know.
Yes.
Kay
yeah.
Allen.
Yes.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
So, wow, very cool. So, Allen, tell us a little bit about what you do, because I'm still fascinated with it after all these years. Kay Allen does incredible things for people. And if you want to talk about, I mean, look, he's got a business and everything, but the altruistic value in what you do is amazing to me.
Well, and there's two main companies, the first being West Shield Investigations, and that was a company that I started over 35 years ago.
Why?
We return parentally abducted children.
Oh, wow.
We break up human trafficking rings.
Wow.
I mean, most any type of investigation that's out there, it's something that we do.
Wow.
And I just got back. I was in India. I was meeting with some of the politicians there.
And
talking.
How did that go?
It didn't go as well as I wanted.
Okay.
But part of the goal was to talk to them about what we can do to help them with their homelessness problems, what we can do that we can help them with their human trafficking problems.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think we made some positive steps. It wasn't quite as good as I wanted it to be, but you know, we
yeah.
can't get everything in one.
What does that mean, though?
Well, I mean, it just means that, you know, I've been asked to write up my plan and submit it into them.
Okay.
As to some of the things that I believe. There are ways in which I can get hundreds of millions of dollars into their country to help their homelessness. But there needs to be special conditions. And so, you know, I talked about the conditions that we can put them in so that they will feel comfortable with accepting the people that want to help.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
What about hundreds of thousands of dollars for our own domestic issue with homelessness?
And you know what? I belong to a nonprofit here that,
mm-hmm.
that does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Saving Families.
Okay.
Saving Families is an offshoot of Olive Crest, and what it does is it sets up families that will be able to, when a parent is in trouble, parent either they've lost their job and they've become homeless, or they've gotten in trouble with the law and they're put in jail, it sets up families that take their children in and take care of them and treat them with love as part of their family so that they don't get put into a system that really doesn't...
It's a very broken system.
Exactly.
Very
yeah.
broken.
So
Thank
they
you.
Find a certain framework for them, a certain home.
Yes, yes.
Or at least
That's
the feeling
cool.
of home,
yes.
you know.
Yes, and,
yeah.
and they do it for free.
Wow. Right?
So.
Yeah. And so you go to... you go on a lot of, I would say, dangerous... affairs sometimes, right? He has to go into countries and actually take kids and bring them back home.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
crazy.
So, what was the latest that you've done in this? So what you're dealing with is still human trafficking, because these kids probably often, if they leave home, they run away, whatever, they probably end up in something like that, right?
And unfortunately, you're right. I mean, very often they think that they're running away from an oppressive family, and what they find on the streets is an exploitive family.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it may be a gang that exploits them by having them commit crimes, or it may be human traffickers that exploits their body.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Jeez, man. That, you know, it's like, I can't believe that this stuff happens, you know, and we don't understand how much it happens in this country, right?
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest issues that we've dealt with is, you know, you'll bring this to the forefront and people will go, well, yeah, I know, but that goes on in third world countries,
right?
You know, that goes on over there. What they don't realize is it goes on here, and one of the reasons why is that as a more affluent country, we're buyers rather than sellers.
Yeah, yeah. We're creating the demand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's terrible because, yeah, I mean, I've heard of all these trips that people take to Asia and stuff mm-hmm. to have sex with kids.
Yep.
I mean,
it's unbelievable.
It's very sick.
You know, but I guess that all these kinks that people have, they're all over the world, you know. They don't know any social... classes or anything like that.
Right.
Everybody's, or not everybody, but in every walk of life, you probably find people that want that stuff.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, yeah, wow. Wow. So, one thing I want to understand is when a kid leaves home, right, you find them, how do you get them to go back home?
Well, it depends on the child, it depends on their age. Under a certain age, We get documents signed by the parents that authorize us. It gives us temporary parental power to be able to take possession of them and safely bring them back either home or to a specialized program that's been chosen either by the parents or by their educational consultant or someone who has found something. And let's say that, their issue was drug addiction. And so they run away, they've run off with their drug dealer, and we find them. Well, the first thing they need to do is go through a detox. So we're going to take them straight to a program that's going to be able to handle that. From that point, the family will work usually with an educational consultant that'll say, rather than go home and be around the same people that may have brought them into that situation, they'll go to a residential treatment program where they'll get the schooling, usually to get caught up, because if they haven't been going to school for the last 6 months, they're way behind to begin with.
Right.
So they get caught up in school, but it's also learning new habits to where when they do return to home, it's easier for them to say
coping
no.
Coping skills.
Yeah, exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's assuming they want to go back home, right? I mean, what if they don't? Do you have to restrain them, actually? Do you have that authority?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So you guys get into some physical action sometimes, probably, right?
Sometimes, but it's very, very rare.
Rare.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of our teaching, all of our people go through nonviolent crisis intervention. We go through NLP training. So it's neuro-linguistic programming. So it's being able to talk to somebody in a way that convinces them that this is the better choice for them.
Right. Wow.
It's difficult.
It is.
It is. You know, I mean, think. You have to really bring yourself to think how these kids think, you know. So, wow, with that influenza, let's talk a little bit about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I wish I had it.
You have kids, right?
Yeah, just for a little while. Let me try it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is that, you know, you go into certain situations where, you know, you have this generation where we can't really relate to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's hard for me, at least, to understand. I think I understand all these kids. Suddenly they come out of left field and making me feel really old.
Well, many times the parents have all of the greatest intentions. I mean, it's whatever it is that we went through that was a struggle for us, and we think, you know what, I'm going to make sure my child doesn't go through that.
Right.
And so we really think that we are doing them a service by keeping them from whatever difficult things. And it might have been financial, it might have been emotional. You know, we want to try to protect them from all of that.
Yeah.
And the reality of it is that that doesn't really set up for a good adult because they haven't gone through anything.
Right.
You know, one of the stories, and I'm dating myself, but for people that remember the original Freddie Prinze. So there's now a Freddie Prinze Jr.
Right.
that people may know of. But with the original one, he was on a show called Chico and the Man.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. He had everything, and he was this. He was very handsome. He was incredibly intelligent, and he was very humorous.
He was
a comedian,
himself, didn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He had a TV show. He had everything, but one of the things that nobody had ever said no to him.
Uh-huh.
And when he shot himself, it was a girlfriend that broke up with him. But it was the first thing that had ever happened to him that hurt his heart.
Shocking.
Oh, wow. So he didn't know how to deal with
it. And he didn't know how to deal with it, so he killed himself.
Yeah. You see, and that's the thing. I mean, in nature, you have to experience, right? You have to go through these things. And sometimes it makes me crazy because I go to my kids, I say, you know, why do you want to, like, take that path? I've already been through it, and I'm telling you it's the wrong path. But they have to experience it themselves, right?
Exactly.
Very few children are going to listen to their parents word for word and do exactly
especially
what they say.
Especially in their teens or 20s, you know, they don't care, man.
Yeah, you know, and it starts at a really early age. And I was just listening to someone who is a specialist in dealing with high-level athletes.
Right.
Okay, and one of the things that he said is that we have too many people that do not have much of their athletic abilities because they didn't crawl as a child. Because crawling is actually something that teaches us how to move our body better. And the generation was, okay, we're not going to have them crawl. We're going to put them in jumpers. And, you know, they're going to roll around in these little things with their feet touching and then have them go straight into walking and not crawling.
Right. So like shortcuts. You know, we give all these shortcuts.
Exactly. And he said even at that age, that type of shortcut has affected us in our growth.
That's true, man. Everything affects your growth. I remember when the kids were young and you go, how's this going to affect them? You know, how's that going to affect them? And usually it's things you don't even know.
Well,
right?
Now,
I mean, they'll come back to you years later. They'll go, remember when you said that? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. But it sticks to them.
I think chiropractic care is going to be benefited by this generation that's happening now because they have learned to stand with their heads chin to chest to look at their phone.
To look at the phone.
So they're always rolling over. So it's going to affect the way that the neck develops. It's going to affect the
posture,
way the neck,
right?
The skeleton develops in future generations.
That's true, right?
Yeah, the damage that they're causing in their neck at this point will be felt in later years and will need treatment because that does cause damage.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with sitting so long. You know, the constant sitting and working on computers and things.
Oh, yeah. Carpal tunnel.
Yeah, yeah. Now we have carpal tunnel, or the same thing with texting. You know, they're getting problems with their hands.
Yeah,
I feel it. Yeah, or just the arching of your back being forward because you're constantly like this.
It's repetitive.
And we're not even talking about the social implications of all that, right? This is just the physical.
That's just physical.
Wow. It's really killing us, all this technology, I'm telling you. I mean, I'm one that is optimistic and embraces technology, but when you look at the future, it looks kind of grim, you know? I mean, like, they're talking about, like, artificial intelligence, and even Elon Musk said something, you know, we must program into the computers, into the robots, not to turn against human beings.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? But think about it. If someone does, you know, and the machines start working with each other,
yeah, networking.
It could be pretty grim, you know? I mean, all that Terminator, that Matrix world, maybe is possible, you know?
Oh,
I just don't want to be
I really try not to buy into any of those things.
Yeah.
Like, I agree that there should be some sort of default backup program inside robots that says, you know, we like humans. They're our friends. But it's, you know...
you have to face it that in our generation, we're going to reach singularity, which is... machine intelligence is equal to human intelligence. They're saying, you know, maybe by 2030 or something, you know, and that's going to be a point where if the machines are as smart as we are, that's pretty sad, man. That's scary as hell, you know?
Well, with your bringing up Elon Musk, I was just a couple of days ago with a 21-year-old that's a friend, but, I mean, I'm friends with his parents, but... We were talking about walking to school. I mean, you know, I was just talking about different things and walking to school. And I was, you know, we were driving past a place to where there was no kids out walking. And there was a line of cars for the parents that were all getting ready to pick up their kids. So I made the comment. I go, well, I remember when a lot of us walked or a lot of people, you know, rode their bikes and stuff. And he just laughed. And he said, you know, now with the cars that we're going to have, he said, there'll be a time with him telling his kids, you know, I can remember when you actually had to drive a car and pay attention to what was going on, much less doing anything physical like walking or riding a bike.
Right.
I think that actually humankind is going to benefit from having cars that are automated and can drive for themselves because it'll completely take out all of the bad drivers.
Yeah.
You know, we will
true.
No longer have those idiots where you're just perplexed in the entire day over the person that was in front of you in traffic.
Right.
You can't wrap your brain around why they're driving the way. Why did they drive that way? How do they get on the road? How do they even survive?
Yeah.
You know, and they're bad drivers.
You know, but I have a way to deal with them.
Okay.
To deal with the bad drivers.
Yeah.
Because the biggest problem is that we let it then stress us out
when
they're doing things. So here's what you do. When you're around a bad driver, you apologize to them. You look at them and you go, I'm sorry. and then they'll be perplexed wondering why you're apologizing. What you're apologizing for is that there's one universal knowledge. There's one universal energy. And you yourself are so smart that you're sucking up all of it around you and you've taken theirs.
Right.
So if you look at it that way, you can laugh about it and not get stressed out over
it
the fact
so
that...
It is so much easier to give them the finger.
Well,
it is so much easier to just flip the bird. I don't know.
But let me tell you, my way of thinking is different, though. I think about it this way. Look, you're on the freeway, right? The whole thing moves as an individual thing called traffic. Okay, we're just part. We're little parts of this big thing that's called traffic. Okay, we're like we're like the little blood cells in the stream, in the veins. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say.
You're just getting so, deep right now.
No, no, but what I'm trying to say is that it's not about individual drivers. Yeah. It's about the fact that they don't do it to you. Even if he knows he does something illegal or wrong, he's doing it to your car. Or not even that. It's just like, it's not you. It's not a personal thing. Think about it.
Yeah.
When you, like, if you sometimes got in front of somebody.
I think it's
Or you realize
personal.
You made a mistake or something, right? You know, you made that mistake, but... You know, you just kind of live with it. You know, you don't think about, oh, how is he going to feel or whatever. You don't even think about it. You moved so far forward already in your driving. Your mind is somewhere else. And this guy's like trying to race behind you and show you that you're a bad driver and all this shit. It's like,
oh, I'm talking about the people that cut you off for no reason.
Okay.
And like there was lanes, like last night this happened.
But how can you take it personally? I mean, they would do it to any car. So why
they would do it to any car
it?
Personally, like why would you
but
even
why
bother?
Do you care? You're
okay,
driving
so
your
here's
car.
My, you know,
you're
many
not looking
times,
for friends.
Okay, so many times on the show we always seem to digress into conversations about mental illness because I'm obsessed with first of all admitting that it is a epic problem. Yeah. And it is I do believe, like you said, maybe higher, but I thought like 60% of all people have some type of mental illness. And we don't test for that when we give out license. So we have people that are, look, you don't have, drunk driving is just one piece of it. You know, there's a lot of people who are on other kinds of medications or getting high in their car or doing whatever, you know, whatever else. I mean, I was behind somebody just in like regular traffic who was already smoking, you know, blowing out his vape and everything in the car in front of me. And I was like, I got to get away from this person because it does impair how you feel. And they had no problem with it. They were openly vaping in their car as they were driving. And it was like, okay, then.
Right.
You know,
but you also have to understand the slow drivers, their mind works slower. They drive slower.
The drifters.
Exactly.
People
who
don't use their signal.
So that's what I'm saying. Look, I'll tell you why traffic's so stressful, because we are among so many people that are all strangers to us.
Yes.
We can't communicate with them because you're inside a car. So it's just like that kind of like a
although last week,
crowd mentality.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. I was driving behind somebody that I knew. And it was, I was just appalled by this woman's driving, you know, like just appalled. And it just confirmed my feeling about her all along for so many years is that she's not all there.
Yeah.
And yet she's behind the wheel of a car, not all there.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a pretty typical scenario on the roads. We're driving around a lot of people who are not all there for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. So, but we don't test for that. Like the same thing with gun control.
Right.
How extensive is our background checks for mental illness?
Right.
Is it even existent? I mean, and now it should be that for license for driving too. There should be some mental tests on there to judge someone's mental
capability. Okay, but you know what? It's not going to catch a lot of people because if you've never been to the doctor or anything like that, you know, you can cheat on that, you know, so you can say, you know, but yet at the same time, maybe you're a violent person, you this, you that, nobody knows. So you can't test really for that, I don't think, but look, what do we know, right? At any rate, we got to wrap up because Alan's got to prepare for his show. Alan, tell people how they can find you. Obviously, you guys can stay tuned in 10 minutes. Alan will be on with his own show, but how can people find you? Social media, website?
Well, look at the website, answersforthefamily.com, westshield.com. That'll reach both companies, the Adolescent Services and the investigation. And obviously, you can go to LA Talk Radio, and you're going to be able to find us on Channel 1 with all the information right there.
Awesome. What's your show called? Family
Answers for the family.
Got it.
Yeah, it comes on right after here, so don't go anywhere, folks. Stay here. And Kay, where can people find you, your books, your movies?
Well, they can find me on Amazon for my books. You can also find my books on iBooks, which is an app for the iPhone. You can find it on Google Books, which is an app for the Android. Where else? Barnes & Noble. But you just type in Kay Brandt and you'll find me. You can just do a Google search.
So you have books, actually physical books at Barnes & Noble? It's
online, but one of my books you can actually buy on paperback at Barnes & Noble. You just have to go to speak to somebody at a store. Huh?
Is that Safe Landing?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
and movies, well, I mean, you can find me on Twitter at Jewelbox, JewelboxFilms on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook at Kay Brandt and on Instagram at K.Brandt. And if you want to see some of the trailers for my feature films, as well as some videos, some interviews that I did right here, Sam.
Yes.
On another show in the video room.
Yes.
Those are on my YouTube channel, and you can find me at the initial K Brandt, not K A Y, but K.
There you go. And K is very talented. I'd like to see at least one of your movies. You know, so you'll have to tell me.
I don't see any reason why you shouldn't watch all of them.
Right? So. No, that's true. Right?
So hurry up and order them.
It just
All you gotta do is do a one click.
No. I know, but you're gonna tell me where, and I'll do it. They just said, "What do you want me to do? Watch that porn and then admit to it on the air?" I guess I will.
You want a VOD, you can find my movies at hotmovies.com. Adult Empire, you can find them at Adam and Eve. Those are the basic, those are like the most reputable and most common places to find quality adult entertainment movies. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Really easy.
Awesome, Kay. Thank you so much for joining us as always.
Thank you.
You're always welcome back. You know that.
Okay.
We love Kay Brandt here, folks, so you got to keep
that
in
mind. And I love being here.
Yes. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.